sing Jesus. We'll sing and shout the victory.
Amen. What an introduction. I had not been referred to as a landmark before. And it's all right about the landmark, but when you put the adjective in front of it, an ancient landmark. What he said about how I've been impacted by Brother Smith is true. I think that mentorship is the highest form of leadership. The young man that came up, you may have saw him, and we embraced Demetrius Sumlin, honors me with allowing me to be his mentor. And one of the blessings that God has bestowed on me is to have the opportunity to contribute to the lives of young men who want to serve, who want to preach and teach. Amen. The late Miles Monroe, some of you may know him, he's a prolific writer, died just last year in a plane crash, he and his wife. He wrote a book called Passing It On, and he talks about a pastor that did a meeting in South Africa. And after the meeting was over, the host preacher asked him if he'd like to stay on a couple of days and go on a safari. And he thought, wow, what a way to get a good vacation. And so he readily agreed. He said, we'll have a car pick you up, you and your wife, in the morning. He was picked up and taken to a 40-foot yacht. And two other couples were on the yacht, and there was also a guide. And the guide said to them, you all are about to see the animals of Africa up close and personal in their natural habitat. And just about that time, there was this shrill that was blood curdling, and everybody on the yacht turned and looked at the guide and said, what was that? And about that time they saw a pride of lionesses come out of the jungle. And he said, that was the pride, and there's going to be a hunt tonight. About that time there was a family of elephants that came out on the other end of the bush. And it was obvious that the family of elephants were going to be the object of the hunt. About that time, a huge lioness came out and broke away from the pride. And she had two cubs in her mouth. She set those two cubs on a mound of dirt right between the family of elephants and the pride. And everybody on the boat said, why would she do that? Why would she put her cubs in harm's way? The guide said, you are about to see why the lion is the king of the jungle. And you're about to see why he will always be the king of the jungle. She knows that one day those cubs will have to learn how to hunt. And what better way for them to learn to hunt than to watch the masters of the hunt? Hunt. Mentorship is the highest form of leadership. And I believe as a fellowship, we need to be more intentional in grooming young men to serve God at the highest levels. And so I'm proud of him. It's good to see Dondi. remember him when he was a younger man in Oklahoma City, a student at Oklahoma Christian. And that was my first recollection of him. It was great to see him here serving in Houston. Good to see Chris, a young man that I watched grow up, being reconnected to God's people, and how his life is being blessed. He's here with his children tonight. When we pour our lives into the lives of these young men, it blesses the kingdom. Amen. That's why I'm so proud of Demetrius Sumlin. He honors me with allowing me to be his mentor. I appreciate men like Brother Smith, Brother Bensel Smith, who just has impacted me. I was trained I had two great mentors, A.C. Chrisman Sr. and Dr. Clyde Muse. Both of them have gone on home to be with the Lord. I love them. I love their memory because I appreciate what they did for my life. And so I hope that those men who are seasoned will just find a young man, a young cub, that you can put right between the, amen, somebody, and let him learn how to hunt. Let him learn how to serve by those who serve. Thank you for letting me share that. Tonight, this is going to be, again, rather informal. It's not like your typical gospel meeting, and some of that is because I really do believe that good preaching is really good teaching. And I think the day is far spent. I think we need to be taught. Amen. And sometimes we get the emotionalism, the emotional high from being preached at, but sometimes learning does not take place. And so I'm going to do the best I can for us to leave here having learned what thus saith the Lord. Now, having said that, my technology did not mesh with Fifth Ward's technology, and so I used Fifth Ward's technology. That's why I got this iPad up here, and hopefully it will be kind to me, okay? And so we'll see how it works. Turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 13, and I want to show you something that Jesus does in Matthew 13. I'll do some preliminary things, but turn to Matthew 13. I want you to particularly notice verses 3 through 9. He gives a parable. We started out on Sunday with a parable, and I shared with you that we will be dealing with parables for the next 3 days, okay? And I want to also say something about parables, and I'll do that as we work through this passage. Again, brethren, what I do, what I enjoy doing, is exposition. And all that is you just put the passage on display. Exposition comes from the word exhibit. And so I'm not on exhibit. Amen. I'm going to put this passage on exhibit. And we're going to work through this passage. After I finish it, then is it Ray? Ray is going to extend the invitation, and that will be our evening. Is that okay?
Yes, sir.
I hope so, because that's what we're going to do. Okay? All right. This never works at home, and I really don't expect for it to work here. If it does, I will be surprised, but I will be happily surprised. If you can, it would facilitate better if you would move down closer. And like I said, you know, it never works at home, so I'm not going to be surprised if it don't work here. But praise his holy name. Wow. Wow, it must be because I'm the guest preacher. This is going to be much like a class, and you'll be asked to participate. So there'll be some moving around, and you guys have really made me feel good. You have honored me. I'm going to go back home and tell them, y'all need to act like folk at Fifth Wall. All right. While they're moving closer, Matthew chapter 13. And I'm not sure, will the technology, tech guys, will it allow you to put a passage on the board, but keep me in the PowerPoint somehow? We can't do that? Okay, then let's just do it the old-fashioned way. Turn in your Bibles, okay, to Matthew chapter 13. And what I would like for you to do, who likes to read aloud? You do? Great. Do this for me. Would you come up here where they can see you and hear you? Okay.
Now?
Yes. Yeah. And I want you to read beginning at verse 3. This is Matthew chapter 13. And what you can do in your Bible, if you want to block this out like this, much like an outline, 3 through 9, he tells a parable. Okay? Then something happens at verse 10 that I need to stop and we talk about. All right? So you might kind of maybe put a circle around verse 10. That's going to be a real key. We're going to read 3 through 9 to get the story.
And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, behold, a sower went forth
now,
to sow.
Now listen, he spoke many things to them in parables. May I tell you something about what a parable is?
Yes, sir.
A parable is what's called indirect communication. Let me put something on the screen, and I want you to think about this. Remember, I've got to get used to the technology, okay? In fact, there are two things I want you to know about parables. I want you to know that a parable is indirect communication. Yeah. If you can see this, this particular scholar, his name is Kierkegaard, he helps us see that direct communication is important in conveying information. But learning is more than information, especially when people think they already understand. People set their defenses against direct communication, and they learn to conform its message to the channels of their understanding of reality. Direct communication, if I try to communicate with you directly, you can set up a defense. Okay, y'all not. You ever talk to somebody, and the whole time you're trying to tell them something, they're saying, I know. Hey, man, some of them ain't telling the truth over there. I know. And then to let you know that they know what you're getting ready to tell them, they'll start completing the end of your sentence. Yeah, come here, y'all. You ever talk to anybody like that? And you know that they don't know what you're getting ready to tell them. Well, what they are doing is they are setting up a defense. So to really communicate, the best communication is not direct. And what I'm going to say to you, if I can keep myself, yeah, pray for me now, okay? Which one of these? Man, wish I had my clicker. Yeah. Okay. Parables are not direct communication. The reason they're effective, see, these are not just cute stories. Some people think that Paul in the Bible was the theologian and Jesus was just a teller of stories. I got news for you. Jesus was Paul's teacher. Amen. So these parables are loaded. This is, if you want to get close to Jesus, if you want to understand what was important to him, you'll meet him in his parables. Okay? Parables are indirect communication, which is a way of coming in a back window and confronting what one thinks is reality. Let me give you a great example of it. King David. Anybody remember him in the Bible? King David had an affair. Woman named, yeah, that's just to make sure we're in the same. Okay. And he had Bathsheba's husband killed. Okay, so now he didn't really messed up. Now, Nathan had to go confront him. David is the king. You don't just run in there and confront the king. Get your head cut off. Come on, somebody. So what does Nathan do? Watch him. Nathan goes in. He said, King, let me tell you a story. Yeah, a parable. Let me tell you a story. Two men had a big flock of sheep. The other one had one ewe lamb. And he loved that lamb. That lamb ate at his table. He took care of that lamb. Well, a stranger came through, and the man who had a lot of sheep instead of killing one of his sheep, took the one lamb that this other man had and killed it to feed to the stranger. Man, when Nathan told David that, David jumped up and said, that man ought to die. Now, the law said it was not a capital offense. What he ought to do is pay the man back fourfold. But David extended the punishment and said the man ought to die. Yes. He had just been Nathanized. When he got angry, then David said, you know what? Y'all see it? He came. Thou art the man. That's how he got to him. That's the power of indirect communication. So what Jesus does, that's why this is so powerful. Because Jesus uses parables. Okay? Now, having said that, we're going to read from verse 3 through 9 this parable. In fact, just start at verse 1. Okay? I'm going to do this like I want to. And if y'all didn't want me to, you shouldn't have asked me to come down here. Okay? All right. All right. Let's read from verse 1.
The same day went Jesus out of the house and sat by the seaside. A great multitude were gathered together unto him, so that he went into a ship and sat.
Now, imagine this. Here's the setting. You all are along the shoreline. And I'm Jesus. And I get to be Jesus because I'm the one preaching. Okay? Now, when y'all preach it, you can be Jesus. Okay? You are out along the shoreline, and Jesus is there, and he's getting ready to teach. Okay? Read, reader.
And the whole multitude stood on the shore, and he spake many things unto them in parables.
So his whole sermon is dealing with parables. That's how he's going to teach it. Indirect communication.
All right.
Read.
All right.
Saying, behold, the sower went forth to
behold.
Sow.
Now, here's the way he's doing it, okay? Behold. That means look. Look. So I would probably do like this. Behold. And y'all would see a what?
Sower.
A sower. Behold, a sower went forth to sow.
And when he sowed.
Now. You got it. Anybody from the country? No, I asked that the other day. I used to stay every summer with Big Daddy. Big Mom and Big Daddy. Y'all not helping me. This is before the age of John Deere tractors. Okay? And what to plant the field, what he would do, they would have a bag that would fit around the neck, and he would reach in the bag. This is after they had gotten the ground ready. He would reach in his bag, get a handful of seed, and do what they call broadcast. He would throw it out. Okay, that's what you're seeing. Okay, let's all look at it. Behold,
a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed,
as he's sowing,
some seed fell by the wayside.
Some seed fell where?
By the wayside.
By the wayside. Okay, I'm sowing. Go, come on.
And the fowls came. And devoured them up. Some seed fell upon thorny places.
Some seed fell on thorny places.
Where they had not much earth.
And what happened to them?
Where they had not much earth.
They didn't have much earth.
And forthwith they sprung up.
They sprung up.
Because they had no deepness of earth.
They didn't have no depth of earth.
And when the sun was up. They were scorched. And because they had no root.
Because they didn't have any root.
They withered away. And some fell among thorns.
Now, some seed fell among thorns.
And the thorns sprung up. And choked them. But others fell on good soil. And brought forth fruit.
Now, the reason you know, the way you know it was good soil, because it produced something. That's going to be important, okay? It produced something. All that soil didn't produce at the same rate. He said it produced what?
Some fruit.
Some a hundredfold, some sixtyfold, some thirtyfold.
Who hath ears to hear? Now Jesus had
an interesting way of preaching. He tells the story in 3 through 9. Y'all see that?
Yeah.
And then he just, here's the way he closed his preaching. He said, "You got ears to hear?
Let him hear.
And dropped the microphone. And Jesus left the building. That's the way he did it. Act like you don't want to hear it.
Yeah.
All right, now. I told you, I'm Jesus. If you didn't act like you wanted to know, he was gone. Okay? Now, this is interesting. Now, verse 10. Rita. Marita left.
And the disciples came.
Okay, now verse 10 is strategic. Now he tells the parable 3 through 9. What happened in verse 10?
And the disciples came. And said to him, why speakest thou unto them in parable?
Why you preach like that? Any preachers in the house? Now, Doc, if they critique Jesus' sermon. Howard, if they ask him why he preached like that, what you think they're going to do to you?
Lord have mercy. Mercy, preacher.
Why you preach like that? In fact, he went on and said what, Rita?
He answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you.
There's inference here. Why you preach like, these people don't understand what you're talking about. In fact, why don't you talk to them directly? Jesus knew what he was doing, Smith. He knew that if he talked directly, you could set up your defense.
Amen.
So, now, but look, I want to establish his answer. He said, they asked, what's the question?
He answered and said,
what's the question,
y'all? And the disciples came and said, why
speakest
thou?
I know you got it. You're reading.
Unto them.
Why you speak in parables? Why you preach like that?
Yeah.
Okay? Look at his answer.
He answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries.
He said, now it's given unto you.
Of the kingdom of heaven.
What are we studying? The kingdom agenda. He said, it's given to you to know. Now, here's where you're going to participate. All right? Let's make a line right through here. Those of you on my right, I'm going to talk to you first. He said, it's given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. Okay? Is that right, Rita?
Yes.
But then he says, but
to them it is not given.
To you, it's not been given. Question: what's the difference between this group and that group? Are y'all going to work through this with me? It's given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. Now, y'all look with me at them, okay? But to them, they don't know. It has not been given. Come on, Rita.
For who?
I'm sorry, Rita, what's your name? I'm sorry, I should.
That's all right,
not
Barry.
Call you just Rita.
That's good.
Is that good? You don't want to tell me your name, man?
Barry.
Okay, Bear?
Yeah, Barry.
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 Oh, that's great, man. That's great. I call my boy Barry. Okay, that's my son. I don't mean that.
I know.
But, you know, you call me ancient, so I get that. All right. Barry's my reader. He says,
for whosoever hath,
it's been given to you to know. He said, and whosoever hath,
to him shall be given.
That's you all.
And he,
to him it shall be given. And you will have
more abundance.
More abundantly. You're going to get more. Don't y'all feel good over here?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. It's been given to you to know. And you're going to have more. Read on.
But whosoever hath not.
But whosoever has not.
From him shall be taken away. Even
the
hath.
Little you got. Amen, somebody. It's going to be taken away. Come on, Jesus.
Therefore, speak I to them in parables.
This is why I speak to them in parables.
Because they see not.
Because seeing, you don't see. And
hearing, they hear not.
You don't hear.
Neither do they understand.
And neither do you understand. See, brethren, we got to get back to working. I work hard to help you understand. It does not make any sense for you to spend all of this time listening to somebody preach and you not understand it. So I use everything at my disposal. I use PowerPoints. I use interaction with you. My voice goes up and down. I use everything to help you understand. Are y'all seeing this?
Yes.
Read on, Barry.
And in them is fulfilled
and in
the prophecy
of Isaiah. Now, that's not. Now, y'all the ones understand, right? I'm on the wrong side. I'm sorry. Why didn't y'all tell me, man? It ain't me. On this side, he said. Not, somebody really got in the carriage. He said, "Go on over there." He says, "Now, come on, Barry."
And in them is fulfilled
and
the prophecy
them,
of Isaiah.
Look over here at him. And in them.
Is fulfilled.
See, you are the fulfillment
of the prophecy of
Isaiah 6, which says what? And he quotes it.
By hearing you shall hear.
By hearing you shall hear.
And shall not understand.
Shall not understand.
And seeing you shall see.
Seeing you'll see.
And shall not perceive.
But you won't perceive. Come on, Barry.
For this people's heart is
because your
growth.
Hearts, amen, somebody. You ought to underline that part. Because your heart
is wax gross.
It's wax gross.
And their ears are dull
and
of
your
hearing.
Ears are dull
of hearing.
Of hearing.
And their eyes they have
okay,
closed.
Okay, now Barry, what you gotta do, man? You gonna help me?
Yes, sir.
You love me?
Yes, sir.
Okay. I want you to kind of read this like a preacher. Okay? Barry said, oh, no. he said, your eyes, you can't see.
Right, you've closed.
Your ears, you're
dull of hearing.
You're dull of hearing.
At least at any time they should see with their eyes.
At least at any time you should see with your eyes.
And hear with their ears.
And hear with your ears.
And should understand with their heart.
And should understand with your heart.
And should be converted.
And you would be converted.
And I should heal
you. And
them.
I can heal you. Some of you don't get healed. I wish I had a church. You don't get healed. But you got eyes, but you won't see. You got ears, but you won't hear. You won't understand. You won't perceive. You know, coming to church ain't just about feeling good. You got to learn something. Amen. Come on, Barry.
But blessed are your eyes.
But blessed are your eyes.
For they see.
Woo! I like being over here. Blessed are your eyes.
Yeah.
Because you what?
See.
See.
And your ears.
And your ears.
For they hear.
Because you hear.
Yeah.
For verily I say unto
for
you.
For verily I say unto you.
That many prophets.
Many prophets.
Men, and righteous
many
men.
Many prophets and righteous
have
men.
Have desired to see those things.
Have desired
you see,
to see the stuff you see.
And have not seen them.
And didn't see it.
And to hear those things which
hear
you hear.
Hear the things that you hear.
And have not heard them.
Man, when you got a chance to study God's word. See, it ought not to be something you got to do.
Right.
It ought to be something you get to do.
Yeah.
Amen, somebody.
Amen.
Coming here tonight ain't something I got to do. It's something I get to do because I can get blessed by God with an understanding. Come on, Barry.
Hear ye the parable of the
now, servant. Now, what verse is that?
18.
18. He says, now, let's hear the parable of the servant. Now, this is going to be interactive. Okay? See, he explained it in 3 through 9. No. He gave the story in 3 through 9. Now, at verse 8, he's getting ready to explain it. 18. So what does he say? Barry, come on.
When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom.
Now, I need 4 guys. Yeah, good-looking guys. Thank you. Come on up here on the stage. Let's see. Let me put 2 on this side and put 2 over there. Okay, thank you, brother, for helping me. Watson going to give each of you $5. All right, now he's getting ready to explain it. Okay, y'all remember the story?
Yes, sir.
Sower went forth to sow.
Yes.
He's broadcasting.
Yes.
Some seed fell over here, some seed fell over there. Y'all remember that?
Yes.
Now he's getting ready to explain it. Okay? So what does he say?
When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom.
When anyone hears the word.
Of the kingdom.
Of the kingdom.
And understand it not.
And doesn't understand it.
Then cometh the wicked one.
Wait, okay. Now. You can hear. But it ain't enough for you to hear.
Yeah.
You got to understand. Chris, yeah, you know I love you, but I'm going to make you the one. Okay. Is that all right? You going to still love me? Okay. He said, the one that fell by the seed that fell by the wayside, that's the one that hears but doesn't understand. Kind of move over here. This is wayside soil. Everybody say wayside. Now this is going to be important because in a minute I'm going to have you line up behind the one. You, amen. I'm really not, but I thought I'd get you awake. That's wayside soil. What does he say about wayside soil? That's the one that
fowls came and devoured
that,
them up.
That what?
The fowls came and devoured
now,
them up.
Oh. Go back. That's the one that hears.
Okay.
Come on, Barry. That's the one that hears
not.
And what?
And understand it not.
And understand it not.
Yeah. Then cometh the wicked one.
And when you don't understand, then comes the wicked one.
And catcheth away that which was sown in his heart.
Let me find a wicked one. Just imagine. Then comes the wicked one. And what does he do?
Catcheth away that which was sown
he
in his heart.
He catches away. What was sown? When you come and you go through these lessons and we're trying to do the best we can for you to have an understanding, when you don't understand, and don't leave here if you don't understand.
Yes.
Ask somebody.
Yes.
He said he don't understand. What happens is the little bit that he had, the wicked one takes it from him. Okay? Y'all see that? See, what's the difference? And I'm getting ready, I'll move to the next one, but what's the difference between this side and that side? But why do you understand? See, that sounds like God is a respecter person.
Fix it.
You know, why he say to you it's been given to know. But to them it hadn't been given. What's that about? What's that about? Let me show you. It's because you ask. See, if you read it, the disciples came to him.
That's right.
After he tells the parable, verses 3 through 9, they come to him in verse 10 and say, "Why you preach like that? We don't understand that. What's that about?" And so he said to them, "Now hear the parables. Because you act like you wanted to know, you got to understand. When you act like you don't care, when you sit in church and sleep, I got a round trip ticket. And this is right.
Yes, sir.
When you sit in church and balance your checkbook, file your nails. I know y'all wish that man hurry up and get through. Opening the coloring book for your kids, bringing food, and I'm not talking about y'all. I don't know nobody here. That's why I'm glad I can just do like I can
tell the truth.
Amen. I ain't running for office either. I've had two terms, won both of them. I ain't running for office. I hope you like me, but I'd rather say something to help you be what you ought to be. Amen. That's why I'm here. So this ain't about popularity. This is about what thus saith the Lord. And so he says, if you don't understand, don't leave without asking somebody. Okay? Now, let's move on. What's the next one, Barry?
But he that receiveth the seed in thorny places.
Now, wayside, move on over there. This is thorny places. Raise your hand, thorny. Is that? No, it's not thorny. It's stony. Come on, Barry. He says, what's the next verse?
But he that receiveth the seed in stony places.
He that receives the seed in stony places.
The same is
now,
he.
Now let's see what kind of soil that is. He says, what about him?
The same is he that heareth the word.
He hears the word.
And anon with joy receiveth it.
And what?
Anon with joy.
Immediately.
Oh, ye hath.
He. Okay, read it again, Barry.
But he that receiveth the seed in stony places, the same is he that heareth the word.
You hear the word,
and anon with joy receiveth it.
And anon with joy receives it.
Mm-hmm. Yet
so he received the word. Y'all come in. And not only did he receive it, he receives it with enthusiasm. And what happens?
Yet hath he not root in himself.
But he don't stay around long enough. Help me, somebody. See, there are people that get on an emotional high. You know, preacher doing that sing song, calling the spirits, and you know, you get hyped and come down here. I'm gonna give myself to the Lord, and you're baptized. But it was emotional. And then you don't stay around. You get baptized Sunday morning. You don't come back on Sunday night. You're not here on Wednesday night. You don't become a part of any classes. You don't have a mentor. Amen. And that's this kind of soil. He hears the word. He receives it with joy. And what happens?
Yet hath he not rooted himself.
But he never establishes any roots. Read.
But endureth for a while.
He endureth for a while.
For when tribulation.
But when tribulation comes.
And persecution.
And persecution
arises
comes.
Because of the word.
Because, listen to this. The persecution is not because somebody did something to him. He says it's because of the word. You not going to like every sermon that the preacher preaches. I wish I had a church. You're not going, you know, That's why he tells the preacher, you preach it in season and out of season. You preach it when folk are shouting hallelujah, but you preach it when the church is quiet. You deal with stuff that everybody don't like to deal with. I call it heavy lifting. Yeah. I got a young man that's coming along behind me. He's going to be my successor. There are some subjects I tell him, son, I want to like you for a while. You let me deal with that because I can do some heavy lifting because I ain't running for office. Amen. But he received the word. Don't stay around. And then because of the word, something the preacher preaches, what happens to him?
By and by, he's offended.
Man. You can tell when a brother in the church is offended. Okay? He used to sit at the front. Now he's at the back. Well, okay, y'all didn't like that one. He used to come dressed a certain way. So the elders felt comfortable using him up in front of y'all to, you know, word the prayer or pass the trays or something. Now he starts coming in blue jeans and his flannel shirt. And then to really let you know, he pulls the shirt out. Those are signs of someone being offended. I'll talk some more about that tomorrow night. Come on, Barry.
He also that receiveth seed among the thorns.
There's somebody that receives seed among the thorns. What about you?
Is he that heareth the word.
This is thorny.
Yes.
This is wayside. Raise your hand, wayside. And
stony.
Stony ground. Now this is thorny ground. Now, I'm going to tell you something. And I'm not going to do it because my time is gone, but for brevity of time, but so many of us deal with this soil. What you going to say about this one?
Is he that heareth the word.
This is the one that hears the word.
And the cares of this world.
But the cares of this world. And the deceitfulness
of riches.
Of riches.
Choke the word.
Choke the word.
And he becometh unfruitful.
Listen, and he becomes. Underline the word becomes. He becomes unfruitful. He didn't start out unfruitful. He becomes unfruitful. Amen. That's the one that talks about, man, I used to teach Bible class.
Lord.
Help me somebody. Yeah, I used to lead song service. Or you meet him on the street and he say, I used to go to Fifth Ward. I don't know who I'm talking to. You can tell somebody that's on thorny. And plus, you ask him, say, man, can you be a part of this ministry? No, man, I got to work. And the reason you got to work is because you got one job and that ain't enough. Because you had a house, but you needed a bigger house. You had a car, but you needed two cars. You needed a house with a two-car garage, but you got three cars. So now you got to have a house with a three-car garage. Come on, y'all. You got one TV, but you need two. I got a TV in the den, but I need one in the bedroom. Yeah. And then I got to have one in the kitchen because I'm in the kitchen sometime when the stove comes on. And then I need a man cave, so I need a different TV. And you fool around, you don't handle your money right. So when the basket passes by, you can't get. I wish I had somebody knew what I was talking about. And then a brother, bless his heart, he gets up and say, God, will you bless those who had it to give and bless those who didn't have? I want to say, no! Don't bless them! because they had it and spent it on what they wanted to spend it on.
Amen.
Cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches. So you can't serve two masters. You can't serve God and money. Help me, Holy Spirit. And then he says,
he
come on, Barry.
Receiveth the seed in the good ground.
Now, this is good soil. And, you know, he my brother, so I let him be good soil.
Is he that heareth the word.
You got your car here?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so if I have to escape, you can, okay. He's the one that what?
He that heareth the word.
He hears the word.
And understandeth it.
And understands it.
Which also beareth fruit.
And he bears fruit.
And bringeth forth.
He bears fruit. Now, I need two more men. Just stand up right there. Good. I know he's good soil because he's bearing fruit. Okay? Stand right behind him. And stand right, okay. Here's the way good soil works. Everybody does not produce at the same level. Some produce 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. And then what does he say, Barry?
Another parable.
Well, so that's where he drops the microphone.
Right.
Let me show you something. One, two, three, four, wayside, stony. Oh, I counted you. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, Barry. I shouldn't have done that to you.
Exactly.
I knew my math wasn't coming out right. Wayside.
Yeah.
Stony.
Thorny.
And good, right? And three kinds of good soil, right?
Yeah.
Look at this, and I'm getting through. Preacher, when you preach. Teacher, when you teach. One, two, three. Y'all stand over there together. Yeah. Listen. And don't be talking during my lesson either. But listen. Three-fourths of what you preach ain't going to produce nothing.
That'll help.
And we walk around talking about what a great lesson we had. What Jesus is saying is that three-fourths of that seed didn't produce anything. Now, and because I'll preach too long because I'm having too much fun with y'all. What time is it? Okay, it's time for me to land this plane. Okay, now, when I say I'm going to land the plane, y'all know how the pilot does.
Take a while.
He says, he says, get ready. Put your seat backs up and your tray table stowed and... we are making our initial descent. Okay, so he don't just drop the plane. And so I'm making my initial descent. Okay? What we need to appreciate is there's nothing wrong with the sower. And there's nothing wrong with the seed. The issue is, what kind of soil are you? I want you leaving here today, looking at your life and assessing, because I'm going to ask you tomorrow. Somebody said, well, I'm not coming. Well, okay. Well, if you don't come, you will have proven what kind of soil you are. The question really that needs to be on our hearts is, what kind of soil? Am I?
Yes.
Amen?
Yes.
What kind of soil?
Yes.
Am I? I want you to identify from Jesus' explanation where you fit. What kind of soil am I? Where is the stony soul? Come down here with me. Not stony. Thorny.
Yeah.
Y'all knew the one I wanted. So many of us, especially in America, this is the soil we're in. It's that soil where we have been overtaken by the cares of this world. And the foolishness of riches. We want everything we see. Amen. And we got marketers that tell us what the next big thing you supposed to want. Amen. I don't have it on me. Somebody got an iPhone? Let me borrow your device, sister, just for a minute. She got three of them over here. They'll tell you what the next big thing to want. I had a phone. I had an Android. I liked it. I have a grandson. He said, "Ooh, Papa, you need an iPhone." I didn't need no iPhone. But he saw, you know, come on, y'all. Yeah. Went to the Apple store. All I need is a phone. I need the phone to ring so I can answer and shut off when I'm in church. I just need the phone. We go in the Apple store, and Anthony, that's my grandson, he goes up to the counter and says, "My papa, and he need the baddest phone on the planet." Anybody got a grandson? Yeah. They gave me, that's an i5 is what I got. And then when the i6 came out, here come Anthony. "Ooh, Papa, no." We got to learn, especially in our culture, you don't have to buy everything. Amen, somebody. You have to learn, if I buy something and it's going to affect my service to the Lord, I don't need it. Amen. I'm going to tell you this. And where the song leader? Thank you, guys. Y'all can sit down. Thank you, man. I appreciate you. Let's give them a love deposit. That's an applause. Amen. I'm going to tell you this. Where the song leader? Oh, yeah. Come on up here like you're getting ready to sing, man. And then Ray is going to extend the invitation. Don't get caught up. And I get to preach tomorrow night, so I'm going to join right there where I was, and we're going to finish that up, go to the next parable, which is the parable of the wheat and the tares. And you really need to come see what that one's about. Amen. I'm blessed to drive an Escalade. And I like it. It fits big people. It's a big people car. You don't want me in a compact. Okay? Have y'all seen the 2015s? Ooh-wee. You ought to go see it. It's a monster. Now, mine is an 08. It got a bunch of miles on it. one of the members, one of the leaders came and said, "Rick Kershaw, ain't it about time? Sowed that seed in my heart." Made me think, you know, I might ought to go look. So I went and looked. Went out to Bob Moore Cadillac. They had two beautiful ruby red 2015 Escalades sitting side by side. Went out there, took Dolly with me. And I'm trying to show her why I need this 2015 escapade. When we got through talking, one of the rules we made in our house is we do not want to have a payment that exceeds what we give. You think about that. I don't want to buy anything that's going to obligate me where I can't give, where I can't honor God with my increase. Because if I do that, I've been caught up with the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches. Y'all see that? That's why I'm trying to give you the example. I'm telling you about my business. I ain't going to tell you too much about my business, but I'm going to tell you enough for you to get this point. And the Lord has blessed me where I have a banker. And I can call him and say, man, I'm out here at Bob Moore. Why are y'all looking at me like that? And they got this Escalade out here, and I need it. And I got a relationship with him and a credit score, and he'll say, go ahead and get it. That Escalade is still at Bob Moore. Why? Because you have to be disciplined enough to not buy everything you could buy just because you could buy it. And when you think about the obligation, the first thing we ought to think about is the Lord. Amen. Y'all see that? I'm through. I'm tired of y'all. I mean, not really. Does this help anybody though? That's a great parable. Now, we're going to move tomorrow night to the parable of the wheat and the tares, and then the parable of 11, and my time will be out. Because they told me I can't preach past Wednesday night, so my time will be out. But if you don't get this first one, now, this is the only one of the eight parables that does not begin with the kingdom of heaven is like. And the reason is, it's the foundational parable. If you don't figure out what soil you in, the rest of them won't connect. Amen. And then once you figure out if you are in a soil that you ought, if you're in a soil other than good soil, then you want to say, preacher, how do I go from the soil I'm in to good soil? Amen. Amen. Okay. And so we're going to try to deal with that. Let me close with this. The historical Jesus. And Donnie, you ready to sing?
Oh, yeah.
You ready?
Yes.
Okay, not yet, though. I used to do him like that all the time, so he know he ain't supposed to. But I want you to appreciate that the historical Jesus, he's a real person in history. The historical Jesus came into human history dealing with the same things that we deal with. Amen. Let me read this to you. The gospel is firmly rooted in a story of that which once happened. The story is familiar, but we should observe that the situation into which Jesus Christ came was genuinely typical. The outcome of much previous history. The forces with which he came into contact were such as are permanent fixtures, are permanent factors in history. They are government, institutional religion, nationalism, and social unrest. Those of you who are taking notes, they are government, institutional religion, nationalism, and social injustice. The church of the 21st century, the church of the first century, y'all do know Jesus established a church. He founded a church. That church in the first century dealt with situations with government, situations with institutional religion, with nationalism and social injustice. And what I want you to see is that the church of the 21st century have to deal with the same stuff. And the reason you ought to be here to get this teaching, not because I'm doing it, it's just good teaching. The reason you really want to have this is, how do we deal with government? How are we going to deal with institutional religion? How are we going to deal with nationalism and social injustice? And if we see how he dealt with it, it may provide a template to help the church of the 21st century deal with the same stuff that the first century church had to do. That's what they asked me to do. And that's what we do. Hopefully it'll help somebody. Hopefully it'll help us as leaders. You know, there's some stuff we need to rethink. Times change. And you can't change the teaching, but you can see how to teach it. If you're going to learn how to hunt, watch the master of the hunt hunt. Jesus came to change that. Amen. How did he do it? What's the agency that's supposed to change it? What was his plan? That's what I'm going to be giving you as we study these parables. All right? God bless you. That's the presentation of parable number one, parable of soils. Come back tomorrow night. We'll deal with the parable of wheat and tares, and we'll keep adding the information. God bless you. We're going to have Ray come up and right here. Yeah. Come up and make the plea. Pray for me. I'll be praying for you. God bless you.
And all God's people can say amen.
Amen.
I tell you, I just get such a lot of notes going through. It's like, and all these other preachers in here you want to preach to. I know. I'll share with you a word from the book of Jeremiah. In Jeremiah chapter 4 and verse number 3, and I'll read part of it. The Bible says, "Break up your fallow ground and sow not among thorns." And the encouragement still extends down to us today as members of the family of God.
Amen.
Circumcise yourselves to the Lord and take away the foreskins of your heart. And God wants us to recognize when we are in sin, and we are to circumcise the foreskins of our hearts.
Amen.
And maybe there's someone here tonight as a member of the family of God, and you recognize that sin has separated between you and God. And we can renew that relationship tonight through confession, repentance, and prayer.
Amen.
The Bible goes on further to say in Galatians chapter 3 and verse number 27, "For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ."
Amen.
Perhaps there's someone among us tonight who's never obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, but tonight, if you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and you've made up your mind based upon the kingdom principles that have been taught tonight, that you want to be a part of the kingdom of God, just simply confess that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and you might be baptized tonight into the kingdom of Jesus Christ on planet Earth. If you're anywhere close to any of the exits, the aisles, just come on out. If not, just tell somebody to get out your way or come down with you as we stand and sing the song of invitation and renew our relationships with God.
Careless soul, why will you linger, wandering from the fold of God? Hear you not the invitation, oh, prepare to meet thy God. Careless soul, oh, heed thy warning. Judgment.